Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, an economic development podcast featuring candid conversations with business leaders across Michigan. You'll hear firsthand accounts from Michigan business leaders and innovators about how the state is driving job growth and business investment, supporting a thriving entrepreneurial ecosystem, building vibrant communities, and helping to attract and retain one of the most diverse and significant workforces in the nation.
Welcome to the Michigan Opportunity, brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Hello, my name is Ed Clementi. I'm your host today for the show, and we're very fortunate to have an expert, Dr. Weesong Shi. You got a long title here, but I'm going to say you're a professor of computer science at Wayne State University, but then you're also a Charles Gershonin Distinguished Faculty Fellow. You're an Associate Dean for College of Engineering and all at Wayne State, correct?
Yes.
Well, thank you, Dr. Shi, for being here today. I've really enjoyed finding out more about you and what you do at the university. But also, I think, if you're at a party and you don't know anybody else and they say, what do you teach? And they don't know anything about any of your subjects. What do you kind of tell them you do?
Well, first, thank you, Ed, for having me. Right. So normally, this is what we always do, particularly in Michigan, when I run into a party. People ask, I will first say, I'm at Wayne State teaching computer science. That's a very generic. And most specifically, I work on, mobile computing, cloud computing, edge computing, and, related topics. So I teach distributed system, computer networking courses while I was at Wayne State.
If you're talking to anybody over 40, they still won't know what you're talking about. But people under 40 know better.
Okay.
I'm over that age, but I think I understand it. In fact, let's start right into that, if you don't mind. Could you give sort of a definition, like what is sort of the difference between edge computing or quantum computing or even cloud computing? They're three different things, aren't they?
Oh, yeah. There are definitely three different things here. So in particular, let me start with quantum computing, because that was far away different from the cloud and edge computing, because quantum computing was most recently starting talking about a new mechanism. How do you solve the problem, leverage the quantum principle behind it, and that's very different from the traditional computer science. So in traditional computer science, the basically is normally people get used to, such as you getting a laptop at home. And then you store your stuff there, and then you run some program against this data. So it is sort of like the data processing kind of a model. Cloud computing basic idea is you collecting a lot of data, for example, your photos and et cetera. It automatically stored far away in the cloud, sort of a data centers, data storage there. Edge computing is most recently became a hot topic, is because of there is a lot of data generated at the edge of the network. It's quite easy to understanding that it's close to the the users. For example, picking vehicle as example, on the vehicle you generate a lot of data, 4 terabytes of data per day. And then you don't have
terabytes.
Yes.
Oh my God! Yes. Really? I didn't know the vehicles produced that much.
They do. They do. If you're looking for the future, the vehicles, you have the LiDAR cameras, and also even for a bigger truck, you saw they have 280 sensors, monitoring the behavior of the engine. So imagine that every second, you generate this amount of data. So you don't have the bandwidth to sending all this data back to the cloud. And you probably don't need to because of the cost for the bandwidth, as well as the privacy concerns. So in this case, you can do this processing the data on the vehicle. So this is the easiest way to understand what is edge computing. So basically, you process the data as close as possible to the data sources. So this way, you can get the real-time response, and also you can save the cost. So that was sort of like edge computing. But I would say edge computing and the cloud computing are not one over another. They are complement each other. You still need to have a cloud there to do the centralized processing, but at the same time, you also have this, edge computing will be, in particular, in recent years, you're going to see more and more, deployment here.
So I know for cloud computing, Google just did a big announcement out in California, and they talked about how that is really where it's going to be a big production for them, I think, to start making as a cost center, because they want to, you know, like every laptop we get now had less storage on it, right, than the last laptop. Is that because they're driving us more toward, because more and more high profile, more data driven, that's why we have to sort of have smaller memory on our computers, kind of?
Right. That you're right, because you know, today compared with 20 years ago, that the way we're using computer is changing significantly. Although you probably see still like you hold a laptop with you, but the thing is, I pick one example. You will realize that today, if you want to buy a new laptop, and then when you migrate from a current laptop to another one, it's probably just take less than an hour. You will be completely done, because you don't need to install pretty much any applications anymore, because all these applications are on the cloud. Right, so even your email, you are not going to download it to the laptop as well. So you just, configure a couple of online client, online username, password. You access everything. So I think that's the beauty of the cloud computing. In the near future, I would say next a decade or something, you will still see the cloud computing will be dominated, penetrated to our life. Very important.
Well, you touched on this a little bit. You got two programs I'm going to ask you about, but let's talk about MIST first. And you used Mobile Internet Systems Laboratory, and that's something you head up at Wayne State, correct?
Yes. That's I have an interesting story. You know, before about 19 years ago, before I was a postdoc at NYU in New York City. So on my way, moving from New York to Detroit, Michigan, I took a road, go to Niagara Falls to watch the falls, and then come down, to Michigan. Then you see there's a huge mist, always running on top of Niagara Falls. So I actually, you even took a picture of that, used that as a logo during my earlier days of this MIST group. That yes, the MIST was I founded in 2002. So basically, at that time, that mobile computing is just started. Imagine that about 20 years ago. So the internet, Wi-Fi internet is going to the wireless. So mobile computing is very important, because people need to talk about energy efficiency. You know, how you're going to deal with, you can keep a phone, can continuously running for like a day at least, and laptop, how do you save the energy, et cetera. And then the mobile computing is, you're working with through the internet. Even that was founded before in cloud computing was there. So basically, we're talking about the distributed. You have a cloud, you have a mobile device, and then how you're going to be save your stuff onto the cloud, maintain the consistency. That was a little bit of jargon in the computer science. But the key idea here is, you have a copy on your local machine, and then you also have a copy in the cloud, and you might have a multiple machines. And then how do you maintain consistency is a big deal. So during that time, a lot of research is on here. So once you solve this completely, that's today you have Box, OneDrive, Dropbox, all this, the core idea behind all these services is consistency. How do you maintain the consistency among all these kind of multiple replications? So that was the major research that we have been doing for the MIST group. It's a core computer science.
So is that an actual course you teach, or is it also something you do in tech transfer with, or is it both?
Well, the lab's name is just called MIST. And then in the class, for example, when I teach a distributed system class, we were talking about mobile computing, talking about internet and et cetera. So that was covered in our distributed system class where I talk at Wayne State. And most recently, when we talk about the connected autonomous vehicle, you will see that the connectivity became very important. That's also naturally, we covered in the class, such as computer networking. We talk about that.
I want to jump over to the Connected Autonomous Driving Laboratory, also known as CAR, and that's yours as well, right? You're a pretty busy guy over there.
Right. So that was about 4 years ago. So when I looking for the new research directions, I realized that, we are in Michigan, you know, that vehicle automotive is the key foundation of the Michigan economy. But we as a computer scientist, I haven't really do anything related to the vehicle before that. And when you saw the trend of the, I would say, in the sometime when I give a talk, I recall that when I give a talk in the first year, introduce this the car lab, we do a little bit of comparison with in the first 100 years in the 10, 11, when Ford have this Model T. So basically 100 years, you know, basically Michigan is the leader of the transportation, but focus here is on the vehicle. But now if you're looking for the next century, the other vehicles will not be alone. So vehicle has to be connected. So you can rely on this, you know, infrastructure. Even cloud computing, edge computing will be play a significant role for the future of this of the vehicle and the transportation. So that's give us idea why we want to start in this car lab here. Although I noticed there's a car lab in Michigan called the Center for Automotive Research, CAR. The reason we picked this is we think that it's a connected autonomous driving. We picked the R there. It's sort of like it's the same car, but it's a different car. That's we are intentionally using the same name here, but we have a different meaning for the next big thing here.
You're listening to the Michigan Opportunity, featuring candid conversations with Michigan business leaders on what makes Michigan a leading state to live, work, and play. Listen to more episodes at michiganbusiness.org/podcast.
You mentioned this word a little earlier, but I find it fascinating, LIDAR, and how LIDAR might actually be better than like radar and a lot of the other, you know, what it's involved with autonomous vehicles. I first heard of LIDAR from archaeology when people were, you know, using it to find ancient structures under dirt and things like that. But can you tell a little bit what LIDAR is?
Yes. Because LIDAR now is spelled as LIDAR. So basically, it's more like help you to define where you are. It's a location. It's a location. Because when you do the autonomous driving, one of the key, most important thing is you need to know where this vehicle is at any particular moment. So the LIDAR, as you can see, in some of the vehicles, is putting on the top. So basically, it's keeping, you know, rotating here so that you can in a real time to decide that where the, you know, the location of this vehicle is. So it is very important for the autonomous driving.
I know it's a term that I hear more and more, but I'm fascinated by it. But, you know, when you talk about autonomous devices, are you also working sort of on drones or things that are going into space or things that are in water? Is that are those things that would be like that transfer of technology could go to all those applications as well?
Yes, absolutely. I think as you ask that, I would say, you know, when we talk about autonomous, usually it means something like drones is flying. You know, that they also, if you have multiple drones, they need to autonomously running each other. They talk, you know, they need to have a protocol talking to each other. And then, although majority of the people think about it on the ground, because, you know, we talk about automotive and so, even on the ground, you have two things. The one is outdoor. The other one is indoor. Indoor is different from the outdoor scenario, because indoor, you need to more accurate, you know, the location. And particularly, the LIDAR technology is useful for the outdoor, that they can help you to, you know, light detection and ranging, detect these objects and et cetera. But then for the indoors, that you don't have a GPS come with it, so that you might need to have something else, you know, that to build that.
So like in a factory, like something that's like a automation, you know, like Amazon uses a lot of in-house
indoor
robots,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, because those ones, your GPS will not work. So you have to rely on something else to determine the location.
So they're using like RFID or radio frequency or something else, right?
Right. Yeah, that itself is a very interesting, is another topic. How do you determine the localization again, is the localization related similar. And then the last thing you mentioned is in the water. So I think Michigan have such a large water and resources here. It is a good, is a very good opportunity that for us to look at even in the water. One of my colleagues in the mechanical engineering, so his group is working on autonomous, the boat, so that the boat can ride on these rivers and et cetera.
You touched on this just a little bit, but I know it's a hot topic, especially not too long, in cybersecurity. And I know that ties into some of what you're talking about when you're collecting all this data. You know, cars are worried about getting hacked in, especially if they're autonomous, right? So that's got to be pretty big chunk of what you got to work on too, right? Cybersecurity prevention kind of things.
Exactly. As you know, that the news in the last less than a month, right? The Colonial Pipe, and then most recently the JBS, the largest food production, all of them shut the plant due to this cyber attack. Similarly, that the vehicle also have the same thing. So that once the vehicle has been connected, although you can bring a lot of advantage to the vehicle, however, you also expose yourself to the attackers. So that's why that we have some ongoing project in collaboration with some companies. DOE funded is talking about for example electrical charging network. If the charging network has been attacked, can you imagine that all of the vehicles, we can't move anywhere because you can't really charge your vehicle anymore. Presumably, by the year 2035, if all of the vehicles are electrical and then this network has been attacked, then what are we going to do with this? So I think cybersecurity is a very important topic. And at Wayne State, we also have the cybersecurity graduate certificate program. Basically, is we need to educate, that the next generation workforce. Even if you are not an expert in this area, but you need to be aware of that. There is a potential, a risk here. You have to deal with that.
And that's part of the purpose of the podcast, I might add, is that, things move so fast anymore. We're trying to also make sure that this podcast is somewhat educational for anyone that might be involved in any of these kind of pursuits, because you got to be aware as you invest money and, you don't want to be leapfrogged by technology because you forgot to do something. And that's why people got to pay attention to folks. You brings up, I'm getting down the last couple of questions here, but one thing I really want you to touch on a little bit though, is your wireless health. I know that you have done a lot in the sort of, I don't know if there's a difference between wireless health and telemedicine, but I think they're similar, but maybe not the same.
Okay. Yeah, I'm glad that you asked this, that this is, again, we come from the technology side. So by about wearable sensors, this technology is also faster developing. At Wayne State, we have several colleagues working on biosensors, putting in your ear, measure, non-invasively measure your heartbeat and et cetera. So now with these devices, we can do a lot of things. For example, in the senior homes, you don't need to monitor everybody, measure the temperature. There's a camera sitting here. Everybody, when you pass by, we can sort of getting this, what's the temperature of this individual. So with this kind of data available, then you need to collect this data, combine with some other factors like EHR, and then you do this either edge computing, such as on the on the hospital, or maybe you're doing like a cloud computing. It doesn't matter where you do, but eventually this can help to make some meaningful decisions or suggestions go back to the customer. So this was something I started in 2011, and one of my former colleagues right now, he is a department chair at Michigan State, family medicine, Dr. Ernst, and he and I, we sort of started this, wireless health at Wayne State. And, this is a trend. Myself is also the editor-in-chief of a journal called Smart Health, basically dedicated to looking for how the technology can help to reshape the future of healthcare.
I've even noticed it in recently, my aunt had to wear a heart monitor, but it's so much smaller and lighter. Remember how they used to be really heavy and big? So, but now they couldn't even transpond information then. They had to wait till you got them back, and then they'd have to analyze, you know, what was on it. So it sounds like what you're doing will be instantaneous, right? So people will know, and they can make recommendations. You better go to the ER right now or whatever, you know, you get people ahead of the scale. Just a couple more questions for you. And one is the kind of, you're hitting on a lot of the topics, but if you were going to talk to some kids in high school, based on what you know right now, and if you could talk to yourself back when you were in high school, maybe you're already way ahead of the curve, but what would you tell kids to get into right now so that it'll be a field that could be viable for a while for them as a career?
Well, that's a big question, because I do have a high school kids at home.
Oh, okay.
So that is, I think that, you know, technology is changing our life significantly, you know, that we, all for other kids, I would like them to, no matter whether or not you are interested in the STEM, you know, which stands for science, technology, engineering, and mathematics, you need to be, at least lay a good foundation for this. Because even you want to do business, entrepreneurship, you still need to understand, you know, how computer science works. The computer science, I view them today, is more like just like a math, you know, as a very fundamental to all of your future careers. So encourage them to take at least some sort of like a basic programming courses and et cetera. And then down the road, there's many things you can do. You could do, you know, development for the new robotics technology, you know, autonomous vehicle, obviously here, and healthcare, because those other fundamental technologies here can be used to stimulate even policies. You know, you can work on how this insurance company going to work, because insurance company going to run into a big changing down the road, you know, because of this, you know, driverless vehicles. So who's going to be responsible for that? There's a lot of things you can do, but you need to make sure that you're understanding the trend, you know, looking for the future, not what, you know, in the past.
Yeah, I wish I would have taken you for a class before I went to college, so I would have got that advice. So the and I know people might not, but I know you and I talked ahead of time, but you did get your PhD in China, correct?
Yes, I do.
And so this question is more of a Michigan question. So you've lived here a big chunk of your life now, correct? So did you say 25 years or?
I've been here like 19 years in Michigan.
19 years.
Michigander now.
So you've got kids here, everything. So what do you like best about living in this area, either Detroit area or Michigan, or you've been here long enough to know now? What do you like?
Yeah, I think that I would say Michigan is a very balanced, you know, life. Although reputation-wise, we as a together, we need to work hard to boast our reputation outside. But once you stay here, you realize that, you know, you have very beautiful, pure Michigan natural resources on one side. And on the other side, you have the Detroit district. You have the four major sports here, pretty much, you know, and also there's theaters. So I really like that, you know, housing is affordable. And then you have the world-class, you know, education facility here. And it's great. You know, it's a balanced life, I would say. I welcome, you know, other people coming to Michigan to living here, you know, that work here and working together to make the beautiful future of Michigan.
I always love to hear people who came from other places and they fall in love with Michigan. So I'm glad you're one of them. And we appreciate you being a professor at Wayne State. Once again, it's Dr. Weisong Shi. He is a professor for computer sciences at Wayne State University. And Dr. Shi, we really appreciate you taking time to do this. There are so many more topics I'm sure we could have covered, but obviously your field is very fast and growing and the technology is cutting all the time. We appreciate you taking time to explain it to us, and maybe we'll see you again in the future, okay?
Sure. Thank you, Ed, for having me. I'm very happy to be part of this.
The Michigan Opportunity is brought to you by the Michigan Economic Development Corporation. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion.